This is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. You've made the commitment.
You caught the vision.
You want your family to serve God.
But sometimes it's hard to put feet on that vision. Hey, Hal, do visions have feet?
How do you get from principle to practice?
What do you need to know about the issues affecting your family?
How do you apply God's Word in the 21st century?
Let's talk about it.
This is Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young.
Well, hello, everybody. This is Hal.
And this is Melanie.
And we want to welcome you to another episode of Making Biblical Family Life Practical. And just as evidence that this is a real family, you're going to hear people coming in and out, and that's okay.
Welcome home, son.
We're in real life, real time, and we welcome you. And if you're listening on the recording, that's all right. We welcome you, too. So it's summertime, and this is the time when the big movie releases are coming out, and there's lots of new stuff out in the theaters, and it's a good time to ask ourselves, what are we doing to teach our young people to be responsible consumers of this media flood that they find themselves in?
Yeah, I went to movies all the time when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. We had Saturday morning matinee, and it was not like, you know, my dad told stories about going to the matinee with 25 cents, and that got you into the movies and a box of popcorn.
Oh, my mom used to take a taxi with one of her friends to the movies every Saturday.
Yeah, them days are gone.
Yeah.
But, you know, the thing of it is, though, it's a long tradition, and the summer movie thing, particularly with kids out of school, and they don't have to be home quite as early and all the rest of that. But still, you know, as believers, we're concerned about stuff in the culture, and we're concerned that our young people be prepared to deal with a culture that's going to challenge their beliefs.
Oh, it's so important because, you know, they need to be familiar with what's going on in our culture so they can address it with people.
Mm-hmm.
Because if they have no clue what other people are talking about, it makes it hard to bring a biblical perspective into it.
Well, some of our older sons, it said, you know, when they went off to college, they felt somewhat at a disadvantage because they really had not experienced a lot of things outside of our little circle. And that was, you know, something that they said, you know, we appreciate that you've open that door up a little bit wider for our younger siblings, because it is important that they know that the culture is out there, and everything in the culture is not poisonous.
You know, I'm not sure they were as isolated as all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they do wish we had talked about even more than we did. And, you know, we watched and talked about it a lot more than most of our friends did.
Well, that you said the key word right there. We watch things together, and we talk about them.
Well, that's just it. And that is where I think most families blow it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they either don't allow any media that is not 100% okay in their home. And, you know, that's a good idea if you have when you're talking about 5 and 6 year olds.
Yeah.
But when you're talking 16, 17 year olds, they need to be preparing themselves to judge between good and evil, to make decisions on their own, to understand, you know, what's possible for a Christian to watch? What can a Christian watch? But they need to be careful about the worldview. You know, they just mm-hmm. need to be able to address those things. And you can't do that if they have no experience with it. But most of the people I know either completely prevent their kids from seeing anything that they disagree with, or they let them out there with no direction.
Well, you know, there's two passages that came to mind as I was thinking about this. One of them is the example of the Apostle Paul. You know, when you look in Acts chapter 17, and he's out there talking to the Athenians, and the Athenians were a city that was driven by philosophy. They just occupied their days asking for new ideas. And Paul shows up, and he looks around the city, and he sees these altars that are labeled to an unknown god. So he saw what was in the culture, and when he had an opportunity to speak, he reached out to them and said, "Let me tell you about the unknown God you're looking for," and led that into a discussion of the son of that God and the sacrifice that he made on behalf of sinners. And so you see that Paul was not afraid to engage the culture. He looked and saw what was around. And, you know, if you read through the New Testament, read through Paul's letters, he often refers to things that were in the popular philosophies at the time, the Epicureans, the Stoics. You know, and he dealt with the Gnostics as a Christian heresy, too. But, you know, the thing was, Paul was not hiding in a hole trying to, you know, stop up his ears. He was instead bringing biblical values and truth to engage this community and show them where they were going astray. That was an important one. But now there's another passage, and you and I quote this in one of our presentations. It's in the book of Hebrews. It's in Hebrews chapter 10. I think I see you over there looking for it.
No, and, I was looking for a different one, Hal.
Oh, okay. But here, hang on a second. I just had it pulled up, and my phone just blanked it out. But at any rate, you know, it says in the book of Hebrews that we need to be striving to be people of meat, you know, that not those who are just looking for the milk of babes, but to be mature believers. And what does Paul say about that? Or rather, it's not Paul, it's whoever wrote the book of Hebrews. But it says, solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to discern good from evil. That's Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. Now, what does that tell us? You know what? That is not a person who's hiding in a bunker.
No.
That's a person who has been confronted with things, not to run out and meet them in the street and welcome them. I mean, Proverbs tells you about that too. But to say the things that you normally encounter in the culture around you, to do it with your eyes open and with the biblical filters up, to say, is this good? Is this bad? Or is it a mix of things? And how can I discern?
Yeah, because I was looking at Psalm 101:3. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me.
Right.
You know, and so how do you balance that? We want our kids to learn to be mature, discerning between good and evil by practice.
Paul says, or
and I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. They've got to be able to identify what's evil.
Right.
And that, you know, what's unmitigated evil, what's sinful, we have to put away. But if we put away everything that has any taint of sin, we can't be part of the world at all because, hey, it's a fallen world, and we're all tainted with sin.
I like what Francis Schaeffer said. Can I bring that in? That's really Christian geek stuff, but it's such a good illustration. Francis Schaeffer wrote a short book called Art and the Bible.
Oh, it's so good. Go grab it. Read it.
It's good. And, you know, Schaeffer's view was that all of creation and all of the world falls under the headship of Christ, and we Christians should not be surrendering any of that territory. This belongs to our King. And so we can go out into the media, into the artistic world, and we can say, what does Christ want us to do with this? And, you know, the thing I liked when Francis Schaeffer said, you've got to make a distinction between the art, okay, the technique, the technology, the artisticness of it, and the message that underlies it.
That's right. You know, that it's got to be good art with a good message, mm-hmm. that we don't want bad art with a good message or good art with a bad message.
Yeah.
And definitely not bad art with a bad message, but it's got to be good art with a good message. You know, that's the only thing that reaches the standard that Christians should set for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But so what does that look like, though? You know what? We can talk about this, but there are a lot of people who, you know, I grew up talking to my parents about stuff, but a lot of people didn't. And I know because we've had other teens and 20s in our house watching movies with us and the kids, and most people are, like, totally startled by how we discuss things. They've never seen anything like that.
Well, case in point, you had a discussion with some young people actually in the speaker's lounge at a convention where we were speaking a couple of years ago. One of the Marvel superhero movies was out, and they were just blown away by the special effects.
And they were gushing and gushing and gushing about it. And I said, hang on. You know, this movie has serious problems. And they're like, shot, what? What? I said, look, it's like it was written by a committee. It has two themes that are directly contradicting each other.
Mm-hmm.
It makes no sense. And they were stunned because it never occurred to them to ask, what's the theme?
Well, too often, you know, we go in, we get into the big screen and the big speakers, and the sensory experience blows us away, and sometimes we leave our brains checked at the door. And
well, it's a willing suspension of disbelief. You know, we want to live it. We want to be a part of the experience. I understand that. But as a Christian, we have got to keep up our biblical filters. We've got to keep our souls awake and paying attention, because otherwise we can get so easily sucked into believing something we don't even believe.
Right.
I remember reading a book. It was at the lake or something. It was just one of those that was sitting around.
Mm-hmm.
But I started reading it, and I got about a third, a half of the way through it, and I realized I was sympathizing and cheering on the protagonist of the story, and I use the word protagonist very loosely.
The central character.
The central character, because this central character was on the verge of committing adultery, which I hate to even thought of.
I abhor it.
But it was so well written, and the characterization was so well written, and the plot was so well done, and the theme was so well hid in the art that it made you sympathize with this character who was about to commit evil. In fact, you're cheering him on. You want him to commit the evil.
You're trying to make excuses for him.
Yes.
That is a warning sign. If you find yourself starting to make excuses for something, you need to double check. Why am I? What am I really doing here?
That's right.
Well, you know, I guess a couple of things that we bring into this, as we talk about it with our young people and with other families, you know, and encourage them, one of those things is, you know, understanding the distinction between the power of the art, the stirring music, the great special effects, and the message which underlies it. That's always, and you know, that you can do that with a movie trilogy. You can do that with a 30-second commercial. You can look at it and say, the production is wonderful. What are they trying to teach me? What are they trying to tell me?
That's what the theme is. The theme is not the subject. The theme is, what is the message?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I saw a movie this weekend that was right on point with message.
And you know what? After the break, I'm going to ask you questions that I haven't seen the movie.
Okay.
And we'll just have that kind of discussion
that
goes on in our family when we engage the media. Okay?
Great idea.
But we have a couple of things. We won't talk about that. We're also going to talk about our schedule some. But, you know, this is at this point, I think we can agree with this, right? That there's good art, there's good message. Sometimes there's good art with a bad message. We need to be cautious about those. And then sometimes we have a good message which is not really well communicated. That's a bad art thing. But we should always be striving to find the good, the double good, the good message and good art combined together. And
that's right.
You know, we can think about a handful of movies we've seen that we would just give double thumbs up and take our shoes off and give them toes too because it was so good.
Right.
And then others you have to say, well, there's a scene or two that we would change. There's a couple of things in here to be aware of that you may have to have a discussion with your kids about. And so we'll talk about that. But I tell you what, we're at a point. Let's talk a little bit about upcoming events.
Really fast, because I've got some other things I want to talk about, Al.
Of course you do. Well, okay, this weekend we are gearing up for the Virginia Homeschool Conference in Richmond. That's sponsored by the Home Education Association of Virginia, HEAV. Don't call it he, that's HEAV. And
it'll always be he, never mind. I'm sorry, Virginia friends.
I know. Well, but they are expecting oodles of people this year. And I'm not going to quote the number that they gave me, but it's a huge conference.
And it's so much fun.
And it's so well done.
And we're speaking
good art and good message there.
Yeah, we're speaking like 7 times there, aren't we?
We're speaking a bunch.
That's true. So come see us there. The next week we're going to be in Portland, Oregon
for
the Ocean Network Conference. And we're so excited because this is my first visit to Oregon ever.
Is it really?
And I think that's the last of the lower 48 that I have not visited, Hal.
Really?
I think it is.
Well, you can put a notch in your odometer then. Okay, so Richmond is going to be June 11th, 12th, and 13th. And Portland, Oregon will be June 18,
19,
and
20. We'll be at Hintz in Charlotte in July and Teaching Diligently Dallas in July. Listen, special deal right now.
Right.
You have heard us say again and again, get some protection on your internet, because this is really the biggest problem that we see in teenage boys, 20-something boys right now, is the lure of internet porn. I mean, you don't have to be a bad kid to stumble across it. It comes looking for you.
Yeah, you really have to be aware that it's out there and take steps to fight it off.
You do. And even if your kids don't have internet access, or so you think.
Does anybody have a phone?
Yeah, it takes is a phone.
Does anybody have a game console? Does anybody have an e-book reader like a Kindle or a Nook?
We're hearing all kinds of scary stories. When we first started talking about this, it was 15, 16-year-olds.
Yeah.
Now people tell us about their 7 to 9-year-olds. So let's get some protection. Right now, for just the next 2 weeks, if you sign up for Covenant Eyes through our link, you can get 60 days free. And what we recommend is you get something on your computer. And then you can decide what's best, because people talk all the time about a tragedy that's happened in a family because they hadn't decided which program was best upon their computers. Get something. Get this. This is what we use, Covenant Eyes. You can get 60 days free. If you go to raisingrealmen.com/safety,
mm-hmm.
it'll take you straight to Come to Nine through our link, so you'll get your 60 days free.
That's right.
And it doesn't matter what it says on the Come to Nine site, you'll get your 60 days free.
Right. So we do encourage you to try them out. I mean, it's a really good program. We've used them for years and years and years. And
oh, we need to say, that supports our ministry when you do that.
That's true.
Yeah.
So that's an affiliate link.
Yeah.
But honest to goodness, we recommended them a long time before they offered us any sort of inducement.
It's just a fantastic service that will
absolutely.
Help you protect your kids and train them. RaisingWellMen.com/safety, because you need to keep your kids safe on the Internet.
Great. So if you're just joining in, this is Making Biblical Family Life Practical, and I'm Hal.
I'm Melanie.
And we're talking about how to teach your kids discernment as they're going into the summertime movie releases.
You know, one release I saw this weekend on opening weekend was absolutely on message. It was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
I was thrilled with it. It's called Beyond the Mask.
Beyond the Mask. And I've seen a lot of buzz in
yeah.
the Christian community and on Facebook and
well,
a lot
was,
of talk about
it. It was written and produced by Christians. Now, I'll be honest, I'm always nervous about those because I've seen a few that, you know, they just...
Well, sometimes they're preachy. Sometimes they're not well acted or well filmed.
This one was awesome.
Well, okay, so let's talk about that a little
okay.
bit. Okay, so you're telling me it's awesome. So the production was well done.
The production was very well
so
done.
So it was a very good, artistically produced movie.
Oh, it was excellent.
Okay.
I particularly liked a couple of things. There were some action scenes, which are hard to get right and were wonderful. Like there's one where the protagonist throws himself through a church window. It was necessary, folks.
Okay.
Throws himself through a church window and the glass shatters. And it was excellent. And then, you know, he lands on this wooden platform, which collapses under him. And the realism of he does this awesome, you know, superhero-looking thing
right.
and then collapses through the platform.
Okay.
And the realism really struck me. It was great.
So it was very well executed. Now, what about the message?
Well,
okay.
I'm not done talking about execution.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about the arc some more.
Yeah. You know, I went with one of our sons who is also a filmmaker, and he found a couple of nitpicky things to say about a couple of shots. If so, I missed it. There was also a wonderful action scene where the protagonist and his pursuers are running across rooftops.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just amazing.
Really?
It was a night shot. It was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It was realistic. Like at one point he lands on a roof and it kind of gives way under him a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And you can hear that creaking sound, you know, that mush sound like
yeah.
what happens when you step on wood that's not all there.
Yeah.
It was excellent. Just very well done.
Okay, well, now you're talking about all the action, the exciting parts, but now, you know, one thing you got to watch out for is characterizations. You know, does a filmmaker or does the media producer, is he trying to sway your emotions to follow somebody that maybe you shouldn't or to excuse behavior that you really should stop at? You know, or, yeah, it could go either way. What did you think about the characterizations in the film?
You know,
are they realistic?
That was what was so powerful about
mm-hmm.
this film.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do begin to sympathize with this character that at the beginning is evil. At the beginning, he is doing things that are wrong, but he wants to leave it. He wants to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And you begin to sympathize with his desire to get out. And he does things that are wrong.
Yeah.
And that he takes someone else's identity and he tries to live as that person. But it was very powerful because it showed you the inability of ourselves to make ourselves better, that we can't earn salvation through trying to be good, through keeping the law.
Self-reformation and
yeah,
personal effort.
That it's impossible
mm-hmm.
you know, to change ourselves that way. And I think this is the characterization of that character and his transformation over the course of the movie
mm-hmm.
Into someone who was redeemed by the end. And the other main character, which is kind of his love interest,
mm-hmm.
and she's a believer from the beginning, and to see her reaction standing on the outside to who he is, that she's attracted to him, she has sympathy in him, but she can't agree with what he's done.
Mm-hmm.
It's
mm-hmm.
really good. The characterizations were good. The acting was excellent. What I appreciated is that the look in the character's eyes was right. And often that's something that I see handled wrongly.
Yeah, I remember we watched an old, it was actually a Humphrey Bogart film. a few months ago with the family, and Bogart was just so miscast for the role.
Yes.
And, you know, it just wasn't, it wasn't real.
Right.
And you know, you could see that. It wasn't in his face. It wasn't in his heart. It just didn't work. And it was, you know, you think, wow, that's one of the greats of the screen. You know, they had, sometimes they have a dud. And
beyond the mask, mm-hmm. the characterizations were excellent. The acting was excellent. When you looked in their eyes, you believed they felt what they felt. In fact, you felt it with them.
Okay.
And that is the thing I like best about the movie,
mm-hmm.
is that the gospel, it was a gospel message, but it wasn't, as I've seen in so many Christian movies, where let's stop and have a three-minute little preaching about the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, main character's understanding of the gospel grew over time.
Okay.
And the important lines were delivered at the end of Acts. You know, if you know anything about story art, every story has different acts, even if they don't have an act break between the story.
Right, right.
But at the end of every act, you know, one a very powerful line that led you towards the gospel was delivered, and you felt it, is what our son said. Felt that line.
Okay. So you said there's a good gospel message to it. So overall, does the movie have a good message? Communicate a good message.
The message of this film,
yes,
is that you cannot make yourself good, that salvation is by grace through faith.
Okay, and so it's
that,
not just a...
That
not
salvation
just a,
is a free gift.
Okay, so the good news is there. The good news is that you can't do it, but someone else has.
Yes, exactly. In fact, one of the very powerful lines...
Mm-hmm.
was the main character said, and tomorrow I'm going to get what I deserve. He was scheduled to be hanged.
Mm-hmm.
And the chaplain that was with him looked at him and said, someone else already got what you deserved.
Mm. Okay.
And, you know, at that point, it was so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I tear up thinking about it.
Okay.
You know, because it was delivered at the right moment in the right way. It had led you there along with the character. So then as the character transforms and begins to understand the gospel,
mm-hmm.
you're feeling it right along with him.
Great.
And, you know, that's the danger of a bad movie, the blessing of a good one. A bad movie meaning a movie with a bad theme is the message.
A bad message, yeah.
That is produced with excellent art, like this movie is, can lead you to feel what the protagonist is feeling,
mm-hmm.
even if those feelings are contrary to Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what we've got to teach our children, to identify what is the theme. Is the theme, like in Beyond the Mask, the theme is, I can't make myself a good person.
Right.
You know, that righteousness is a free gift.
Okay.
And, you know, that's an awesome theme.
Okay. So...
But the theme, but good art used in a movie with a bad message is a dangerous and scary thing.
It is. And yeah, okay. So that's Beyond the Mask. You just went there, and that's your capsule review of it. That it's a good art, good message, excellent film.
My questions would be: it's historical fiction.
Okay.
And it's definitely fiction. They play a little bit fast and loose. There were a couple of date things that really got on my nerves.
Mm-hmm.
But. It's kind of steampunk historical fiction.
Mm-hmm.
There's some science in it. And, of course, Ben Franklin's in it. You would expect that. But on the whole, it was...
But it's a revolutionary era science. It's not like NASA.
No.
This is not like NASA and UNIVAC. This is more like Benjamin Franklin. And
like electricity, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really fun. And okay. I recommend you take your children, take your family, take your friends, you know, because this is... It has a strong emotional message of the gospel that is very difficult to ignore, I think.
Well, and
without being remotely preachy, it's an action adventure film.
Well, it's kind of like, you know, a few years ago, the movie Amazing Grace.
Yes.
I felt like Amazing Grace was like that. And there was a few things in there that you say, hey, yeah, that wasn't quite realistic. You know, the characters didn't age naturally, but it was... One thing I like sometimes is to try to identify, is there one line that sums up the film? And in Amazing Grace, it's fairly early in the movie when the young William Wilberforce is a new believer and he's thinking of leaving Parliament to go serve on the mission field or something, and a group of abolitionists who are fighting the slave trade come to eat dinner at his house, and they said something I'm going to have to paraphrase. They said, "You are perhaps wondering whether a person can serve God and serve in politics at the same time. And we would recommend to you to consider that you can do both."
Yeah, that was
and that was, and it's really, that's what you see. You see how he did tremendous service in God's kingdom sitting in Parliament. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that's a great theme. There's others that, you know, all right, like one of the Spider-Man movies. I think it was the very first Spider-Man movie. Mm-hmm. There's that one line, I think Uncle Ben says, "With great power comes great responsibility."
Yeah.
Well, it sums up the whole thing. You know, and I was thinking about a more recent film. You remember Big Hero 6, Academy Award winner this year, all right? And is that just a big, fun comic book film? Well, yeah, but there's a line in there where the older brother, he's kind of the idolized character, and he disappears early in the film. I don't want to give spoilers, but there's an emergency, and he tells his younger brother, somebody's got to help.
Yes.
And that's kind of the theme that underlies all the stuff that goes on in that movie. Somebody's got to help. And how do the main characters sort out their responsibility and how they work that out in their individual lives?
So let's summarize. How do you teach your kids discernment?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you watch things with them. And then
that could be a lot of fun.
It's a blast.
And it's so much, it's so easy.
Popcorn, popcorn instead of not in the microwave. It's so much better, folks.
But Netflix and Redbox, it makes it so easy to do this kind of stuff.
It's way easier than it used to be when we were kids.
Oh, gosh. Yes.
Okay, so watch things with your kids. And then talk about them. Ask them, what's the message of this film? What's the theme? What was the screenwriter, the producer, the director trying to teach you?
Mm-hmm.
Try to identify a couple of lines that carry the theme.
Mm-hmm.
How is the theme carried out in the characterization, in the setting, in mm-hmm. you know, the whole thing? You know, you see in Beyond the Mask, you know, they go from the old world to the new world.
Uh-huh.
You know, you can see the transformation trying to become something new in the setting.
Even.
Mm-hmm. You know, look for those things that the producers, the directors use to get the message across to you.
Okay.
And discuss those with your children, because when they understand that ultimately art is manipulation.
It's meant to communicate.
It's meant to communicate.
And persuade.
To persuade. Is it persuading you something good? Mm-hmm. Or to persuade you of something bad.
And if you understand a little bit about the tools, you don't have to go to film school. If you just understand a little bit about what underlies it, then you're much safer to deal with these things. You're not going to be as quickly led astray because you say, ah-ha-ha, I see what you're doing here. The dramatic music comes up or the lighting shifted and you're trying to get me to sympathize with this character who's contemplating sin.
Right.
And you know, when you see these things and you can analyze them, you start to think these things in your viewing, then you're not as likely to stumble.
And I can't tell you how many times our kids have sat in a group of other Christians
mm-hmm.
and heard people defending movies which are really indefensible theme-wise.
Yeah.
And when our kids point out, like, they've never even thought of that, never crossed their mind. And sometimes those bad things can come in very attractive, seemingly harmless packages. For example, The Lorax was extremely on message, but the message was horrible.
Mm, yeah.
You know, the message was that businesses, and particularly small businesses, and especially small family businesses, are a danger and a threat and offensive to God.
Wow.
It's a horrible message.
Ooh.
But that's the message in Lorax, and the whole thing is totally on thing.
Wow. Okay. Well, let me, it's about time to wrap up, but I want to share a couple of resources here with our listeners. You know, my go-to, whenever a new film comes out, before I decide, am I going to go see this, am I going to give them this, is I go to Plugged In. It's a fantastic website. It's connected with Focus on the Family Ministries, and go to PluggedIn.com, I think it is. I believe it's .com. But they have movie reviews, and they're detailed. They go through and they say, is there anything you need to watch out for here? Is there any drug or alcohol use? Is there any sensuality or sexual content you need to be aware of? You know, is there any violence you need to be aware of? And they go through and they give very balanced reviews so a parent can be informed and can make a decision and can lead the discussion more effectively when they get home.
And, you know, the great thing about that is it can tell you maybe this is one we need to watch in video where I can fast forward through things.
Yeah, yeah.
Or this is one we can go watch in the movie theater. And what age of your children to take with you and to watch with it. Because some things I would never allow my 6 or 8 year old to watch, but I want to watch with my 17 or 18 year old to help them to learn how to address it.
Now, another good resource is the Internet Movie Database. If you've never run into that, IMDb. That is not a Christian website. It's just a big compendium, all kinds of movies, all the way back to the dawn of cinematography.
Yeah, and so it can give you information about any movie out there.
Right.
Now,
yes.
Don't forget, folks, 60 days free for the next 2 weeks with Covenant Eyes. Please get out there and protect your devices.
Absolutely.
Every single Internet-capable device in your home, okay?
Yeah, it's all under one price. You get a family account, and you can set up as many individual logins as you need for each of the teenagers or each of the parents or whatever.
And every device in your house.
All under the same price.
Yeah.
And it's very reasonable.
Yeah, 60 days free. Go to raisingwillmen.com/safety.
Yeah, so you don't want to miss that. And if you come out to our website, check out our blog, raisingrealmen.com is where we normally hang out. But you can also get information on our speaking and ministries at halandmelanie.com.
Right.
And you can always go to halandmelanie.com/radio to find the archives where you can hear about all of these broadcasts that we put out here over the past 2 years now, coming up on 2 years.
And in fact, you can find us on all social media /raisingrealmen, Facebook, Pinterest, Periscope. We've got a new Periscope account.
Ooh, we'll have to talk about that later.
/raisingrealmen. Come join us.
So we hope that you will join us again. But we thank you for sharing your Monday evening or your time on iTunes or anywhere else. Until next time, I'm Hal.
And I'm Melanie.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, y'all.
You've been listening to Making Biblical Family Life Practical with Hal and Melanie Young. If you found this program interesting, challenging, and encouraging, why not join us on the web at halandmelanie.com. That's HALANDMELANIE.com. Or follow us on social media. You can find us on Facebook at Facebook/Hal and Melanie or Facebook.com/Raising Real Men. This program is a production of the Ultimate Homeschool Radio Network. Join us next week when we'll be back to talk about making biblical family life practical. Until then, thank you and God bless you for listening.